It's 2011, and we're at the World Barista Championships.
Fourth place is going to Javier Garcia from Spain.
On stage, they're announcing the winners, as in who's going to be this year's World Barista Champion. In the middle of this cheering crowd is a man from El Salvador who is wiping his eyes.
Oh my God. I think I cried like a baby.
His name is Federico Bolaños, and he's understandably emotional because his dream is on the cusp of coming true. You see, Federico is a barista championship coach, and for the last couple of years, he's been coaching a young Salvadoran to win these championships and fulfill his dream.
We've been competing 3 years in a row, putting all our energy into that. I mean, like, relentlessly into that.
The kid Federico has been coaching for all these years is now one of three competitors left to win this championship.
It was terrible. It was hugely, hugely scary.
Federico is intimidated because he's from El Salvador, a relatively poor country. Yet the winners of these competitions have always come from rich countries. And this year might not be any different. Next to Alejandro, the competitor that Federico trained, is America and Australia. And they are literally, physically, towering over Alejandro. Alejandro! But the audience today is on Alejandro's side. They shout his name and then they break into a chorus of Salvador, Salvador.
All right, everybody.
The time comes to announce third place.
This is going to a guy from Australia. His name is Matt Pershing. Let's get really loud, folks. Come on!
Alejandro turns to his left and stares at the American competitor. His eyes are wide open in disbelief. Just 3 years before, he was working at a Wendy's drive-thru in the capital of El Salvador, supporting his parents on less than $300 a month.
We know what happens when we announce his second name.
They finally announce second place. If America is called, Alejandro is going to be crowned World Barista Champion.
As high as you can, for a gentleman coming to you from the United States of America,
it was magical. It was just unbelievable.
Alejandro is left standing alone on stage. His hands cover his mouth, his eyes puff up red. Back in the crowd, Federico watches Alejandro lift the first place trophy above his head, and he turns to his business partner.
We said to ourselves, we can die tomorrow. And we did a good thing in earth. We changed someone's life for good. I mean, his kids will not struggle so much as he did.
But Federico has a problem. Federico co-owns three cafes in El Salvador. But if he continues sinking money into these expensive competitions, he might lose them all.
But and it's very expensive to do it, for sure. See, the thing is, the Chinese have this saying that says, be careful what you dream, because it can become true.
What do you do when you've achieved a life goal? Aim bigger? Quit? What Federico chooses will change his life and El Salvador in ways he wants and ways he doesn't. And at the end of it all, I'm going to ask him, did you make the right choice? I'm James Harper, and this is Filter Stories, the untold stories hidden in your cup of coffee. It's not easy being young and poor in El Salvador.
There are an estimated 60,000 gang members in El Salvador.
Many of those 60,000 gang members are young Salvadorans. It's not hard to understand why. Gangs offer status, and status is hard to get if you grow up poor.
Violence has now risen to levels that haven't been seen since the country's civil war.
Many also join gangs because they live in gang-controlled areas and they want to feel safe.
In El Salvador these days, there's one murder an hour for a pretty small country, only 6 million people.
And the gangs also make a lot of money.
And they're involved in drug running, extortion, and killing.
Who are you?
I am Alejandro Mendez. I am the 2011 World Barista Champion.
Alejandro's story shows what it's like trying to get ahead as a young, poor Salvadoran outside of the gangs.
I born here in San Salvador. The city is called Ciudad Delgado.
If you Google Ciudad Delgado, you'll see it makes the top 10 list for El Salvador's most dangerous neighborhoods. Now, Alejandro never cared for coffee, but he wanted an education. So he tried to attend university.
I was studying modern languages.
His family pulled their money together to help him through, but just 1 year in, his father was made redundant and he struggled to find new work.
So the only person that can get money to the house, it was me.
So Alejandro dropped out of university and before long was taking orders at a Wendy's drive-thru on minimum wage.
Which was, in that time, $130 every 15 days. So it was almost $300, let's say.
Alejandro supported his parents and siblings on less than $300 a month. Rewinding a couple of years and hopping to a different corner of San Salvador, Federico Bolaños, Alejandro's future trainer, refused to touch coffee.
So I thought it was very bitter and the experience, it was just unbearable.
But one day he's at someone's house, he's really drowsy, needs some caffeine, and they offer him a cup of coffee that was grown on their family farms.
And I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a very revealing experience of what coffee was.
Federico had never tasted anything like it. It was sweet with notes of chocolate.
And my mind started spinning. And I said, why isn't this available everywhere? And she says, well, because the history of our country is that the best coffee produced is always exported. And in that moment, I said, there's a huge opportunity here. I mean, the vision was to make a world-class coffee available for consumers in El Salvador.
With some business partners, Federico begins Viva Espresso. If you visited El Salvador 10 years ago, Viva Espresso would have been one of the few places you could get a good cup of coffee.
He called me that day.
So back to Alejandro. One day, he applies for a job at Viva Espresso and walks in for an interview.
And suddenly this young guy appeared.
Alejandro tells Federico his story, you know, dropping out of university to support his parents. And Federico falls in love with the story.
It was just clear as a day that this guy was an amazing person. This guy had good values in his life and with so much potential. I mean, you could see it in his eyes.
Alejandro applied for a job at a very interesting time. A few years before, Federico had been gripped by the barista competitions. He first found them at a trade show in America.
As I walked into the competition area, with the stands full of people and cheering for the competitors like they were gladiators in the arena. It was just an immediate feeling. It was such a great energy. I said, I want to do this for the rest of my life. This is what I want to do.
All right, here's a quick primer on how these competitions work. Alejandro would have 50 minutes to brew some of the best tasting coffee in the world for a panel of judges. He has to tell the story of where the beans are from. And he has to push the envelope of the barista profession. For the next 3 years, Federico puts everything into creating a winning routine for Alejandro. Here's one of his business partners.
They train from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day.
But what are you doing for 10 hours a day?
Just training in a closed room. What you perfect is everything. The way you move, the way you blink,
you say things.
Exact words,
the coffee, the amount of coffee,
the extraction rate.
It's just boring. I'm going to bore you with all the details.
But it's just every day focusing on the little details.
Federico is spending so much time with Alejandro in the basement, he can't hear how quiet his cash registers are. Here's one of his business partners again.
el país entró en una depresión económica súper grande.
So there was a recession in El Salvador.
Yes.
This is the Great Recession of 2008. And before long, the waves of this recession hit their third cafe.
So we had chosen to open a big shop, the biggest shop of ours, in a huge commercial building that it took years to fill.
Federico forks out for salaries, rent. But that tower of steel and glass above the cafe stays mostly empty. Ernesto Rivas. Meanwhile, these competitions are costing Federico a fortune.
It was a lot of money.
This is Alejandro again, the soon-to-be world champion.
A lot of money invested in coffee, accessories, time flights, hotels.
I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars all in.
Yeah, yeah.
For a country with a 30% poverty rate.
Yeah, that's right.
But Federico is running on passion.
Put a number on it. What did it cost?
I have no idea, man. If I knew what the cost was, I would have not done it. It was much better not to know.
However, if Alejandro could win, it might be a marketing game changer for Federico's struggling cafes. And when he does win a few months later, El Salvador blows up.
Como todo un campeón, así fue recibido el joven.
Here's the champion, Alejandro.
The thing is that people realize, because in the news, you know, there's a boy who won the World Barista Champion, El Salvador, and the people start to come.
Alejandro won the championships by serving a Salvadoran coffee that tasted like a fruit salad covered in creamy chocolate. This is great news for Federico and his business partners, because they serve the best Salvadoran coffees in town. Here's one of his business partners again.
In that time, they say, okay, really? We have the best coffee in the world? Let's drink it.
Meanwhile, Alejandro's life changes forever. He becomes a barista rock star. Coffee organizations fly him across the world. And then a few months go by, and the news cycle moves on.
I didn't see much change in stuff.
It's a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
And sales go back to normal.
Immediately after this happened, we didn't know what we had in our hands. And if we would have been more business focused and maybe more financially intelligent, we would have stopped and capitalized on this a lot more.
And now Federico is back to where he started before Alejandro won. His cafes are too quiet, and these competitions cost a lot of money.
But it was such a big impact on many of the young baristas of our company. It just made everyone realize, hey, this can be done. This is not impossible.
Federico's new problem is that he's staring into the eyes of dozens of young, passionate baristas.
Everyone was telling Federico, I need you to train me. Please, I want to compete, I want to compete, I want to compete.
And they all have stories just like Alejandro's.
So we couldn't even stop. It was just, please, me, next time, next year, I want to be, please train me. And I was like, of course. I mean, why not? You know, I couldn't help myself.
It's 2013, and the next championships are being held in Melbourne, Australia. Federico has also found his next Alejandro, a young guy called William. Around this time, one of Federico's business partners takes on more of a management role, and she can feel something is off. She tells Federico,
I believe that going to Melbourne, it will be very expensive for us as a company. You did what you dreamed. Now we have the championship. Now let's rescue the espresso, right?
Federico hears the message loud and clear.
Yeah, it was a strain for the company and put a lot of pressure and weight on top of it.
But at the same time,
he was sure of the talent of William, and he knew that it was the right moment.
Federico's business partner gets Federico's passion. It's her passion too, but it's also her business. And going to Australia will sink it lower with debt.
What?
No prizes for guessing what Federico said he was going to do.
I was like trying to kill him.
A big round of applause for competitor number two, barista champion of El Salvador, William Hernandez.
So William competed. He won the nationals. We went to Melbourne and he was third in the world. So it was crazy.
Competitor number two, barista champion of El Salvador, William Hernandez.
Federico has now helped two Salvadoran boys get into the finals of one of the most difficult coffee competitions in the world. His ambitions inflate one more time.
I started dreaming about making the first woman barista champion.
But when he lands back in El Salvador, he has a mutiny on his hands.
Most of the employees were not happy because sometimes didn't pay in the right time.
This is some serious cash flow problems.
Yeah, it was.
Alejandro, the former barista champion, has been comparing himself to other former champions who have gone on to open roasteries and cafes. And here he is stuck in the basement of a cafe, training Federico's other baristas.
I need to get out. I mean, I need to breathe. I need money, more money.
He raises this with his boss, Federico.
He say, look, Alejandro, right now the company is not okay.
But he and many other Viva Espresso baristas decide now is the time to spread our wings.
The hardest part of that, take the decision, is to how I can tell to Federico that I leave. Because I love them, you know, they were very good with me. He got very mad. He was pretty mad with me.
Federico puts on a brave face as more and more baristas walk out the door.
Look, it didn't feel easy. It wasn't easy. But at the same time, I also have to say that I'm a big soccer fan. And the way I saw it was that we were building Barcelona. We were not Messi. Messi was Alejandro. So we knew that we had the most important thing, which was the company that could produce more of them.
Unfortunately, Federico is out of time. The company needs outside investors. And they find some. But there's a catch. They
wanted to buy the whole thing.
Federico was going to lose the cafes that had brought us the world's first barista champion from a developing country.
It was like a... How can I say this? Like a baby that we had nurtured and grown.
When they sell, the new owners don't share Federico's passion for the competitions. And before long, he's out. El Salvador has never since got into the finals of the World Barista Championships. I ask Federico, what would you have done differently?
I made many, many mistakes by being unbalanced. By focusing on just one side of the business, which was just the quality of the business and not the management of the business. Life passes you the bill. If you make a mistake, you're going to pay for it. And that's how we rationalized that this was the bill that we would have to pay.
And then something remarkable happens. All the baristas who left Viva Espresso went off to start their own cafes. Alejandro, the 2011 world champion. He got some barista friends together, they pooled their money, and started a coffee roastery on the thinnest of shoestrings.
Our first investment was $105 per partner. So we were four.
So you had $420 as capital.
Yeah. And we bought a bag of coffee. We rent a roaster, we roast the coffee and we sell it. Then we bought two bags of coffee with that.
Today, Alejandro is the co-owner of the Four Monkeys Roastery. Federico taught Alejandro what good coffee is. And now Alejandro is spreading the gospel across El Salvador. El Salvador has been growing delicious coffee for hundreds of years. But because the best stuff was always exported, many Salvadorans never drank it. Federico, Viva Espresso, winning the World Barista Championships, helped change all of that.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And if you ever visit El Salvador, which I really recommend you do, it's a beautiful country and very safe for tourists, I recommend going on a coffee shop tour. You'll run into many former Viva Espresso employees, and you'll taste some of the best coffees the country has to offer.
Where else do you want to go, sir?
Are you
tired?
Caffeined out, mate. I am out.
I think you need a coffee.
I am out.
Federico soon embarked on a career as a barista championship coach. In 2019, a Korean company paid him for 2 years to train their barista.
And all that leaves me to do is to announce the 2019!
And she became the second woman to ever win the World Barista Championships.
Representing South Korea, Xu Yang!
If I had to do what I did, I would do it again. There's nothing more fulfilling than achieving a dream. It's something that I'm going to take with myself to the grave, and it's going to fill my heart forever.
So thanks for listening. I hope you're well and safe during this coronavirus craziness. This virus is particularly hard for many people in coffee because, you know, baristas don't make a lot of money relative to their cost of living, and a lot of cafes don't make a lot of money either relative to their rent. And when everything gets shut down, things get really tough. So my thoughts are with you all if you're a barista or a cafe owner, but things will get better. We just gotta hang tight. And if you don't work in coffee and you want to help, one thing you can do is to buy beans from local independent coffee roasters online and just avoid the temptation of, you know, buying coffee at the supermarket. And if you want to support marginalized farmers while you're doing that, you can visit marginalizedfarmers.org to find an independent roaster who supports small-scale, struggling coffee farmers. I'm using this self-isolation downtime to create many new episodes for you. I have a lot of tape from my travels last year that need to be turned into episodes. So now's the time to do it. Since I sat down last year with Federico to record this story, he has started a new roastery. It's called Alchemia Coffee. You can find them on Instagram. I want to give a big shout out to Hannah Smith. She's a Berlin-based voiceover artist. She helped in the early stages of crafting this episode and helping me figure out how to tell it. If you need a very experienced voiceover artist, head to hannahvoice.com. The guitar music in this episode was composed by Håkon Vade. He's a Norwegian I met during the Filter Stories live show in Oslo last year. If you need some guitar music composed, I've listed his contact details in the episode description. Dom Edgley mastered some of the tracks in this episode. You can find more of his work at domedgleysound.com. And the Filter Stories logo was created by Headquarters, a branding and packaging design team. You can find more of their work at headquarters.studio. Take care out there, and I'll speak to you next time.